This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two of Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. And coming up this hour, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've also got Will Gray, Golf Channel. We'll talk to him about the Masters that is now underway. Ceremonial opening drives. Lee Elder in that group. Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player as the Masters is now underway. Last night in the NBA, and I know, look, regular season games have a certain feel to them. We get up for them a little bit, but we know the real action is in the postseason. Between the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns, and last night was an overtime thriller. Donovan Mitchell with 41 points for the Jazz. But they don't win in the desert as Phoenix wins 117-113. Chris Paul has had 29 points. Devin Booker with 35 for Phoenix. These are the top two teams in the Western Conference. Now, I know the Lakers are playing without LeBron, but nevertheless, think about this Western Conference just a couple of years ago. Think about this Western Conference even before LeBron got there and how Golden State was dominant and Houston was really good. And, you know, you'd have these teams that would be Denver was trying to find their footing and Dallas was in there and Memphis and San Antonio and now you're looking at just another crop of teams that are coming up. Phoenix used to be a basement-dwelling team. Utah was a team good but not great. Threat, not really. Now they own the top two spots in the Western Conference. It's got to give head coaches like Mike Malone in Denver just a headache, right? Or Terry Stotts in Portland, a headache. To just sit back and know that there are teams just constantly coming in this conference to make your playoff run miserable. The East has got fine storylines. Brooklyn has got the big three now, and Philadelphia is really good, and Giannis plays in Milwaukee, and even the Knicks are in playoff contention at the 8 seed. But the Western Conference continues year in and year out to be the place for basketball in the NBA. And now the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns, which a couple of years ago you never thought would be in a meaningful game in April, played a thriller last night, top two spots in the West. Coming up next, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we continue on a Throwback Thursday, and before we get to the good of the day, a real good of the day, Tub of Towels. Heavy-duty cleaning wipes, over 30,000 five-star reviews because they break the bonds that hold dirt and grease on surface to clean just about anything. When I say anything, I mean permanent marker, ink, food and drink stains, big bird messes, adhesives, decals, paint stains, grease, oil, tar, you name it. And they're tough on dirt, but easy on the hands. Aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin weaved in. So, again, gentle on the hands while you tackle that big mess. Also, they're in a vapor lock container with a lid that will stay shut and keep those wipes moist so that you can use them and not have them dry out so that you wake up one day and go out and get them and they're like, wow, this was a waste. They dried out. These won't because of the vapor lock lid. Tub of Towels can be used on your car, all sorts of needs in your garage, grills, outdoor furniture, lawn and garden equipment. But you know what? You're going to bring them in the house too because they'll clean everything in your house from counters to appliances, bathrooms, you name it. If you've got a mess, Tub of Towels is going to clean it for you. Again, 30,000 five-star reviews, can't go wrong. Large 10 by 12 heavy-duty cleaning towels and available in the aisles of O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, Pep Boys. Find them and go get some Tub of Towels. All right, let's get the good of the day.
The good of the day. You know, when your son went off to college.
Yep.
It made you a proud father, right?
Sure it did.
Got him out of the house. He's finally moving on, realizing his dream. Well, it took this guy a few years more than your son. But we should celebrate the fact that at 27 years old, Pete Davidson has finally moved out of his mom's basement.
I heard this. I did not know he was still in his mother's basement. I don't follow really Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
But I thought if you're making Saturday Night Live money,
well,
I mean,
only
is
that,
he banking it?
Yeah, his net worth is roughly $6 million.
I mean, that's great.
That's enough to get you a one-bedroom apartment someplace, right?
I mean, of course.
Maybe not in Manhattan. But, you know, someplace nice.
But seriously, well, I mean, maybe he's like, look, I know the Saturday Night Live career isn't really long. Never know when you're going to get kicked out.
Right.
So maybe he's thinking to himself, I'll bank a lot of this money so that I really don't have to stress out when Lorne Michaels calls me and I'm being replaced by another young man.
Right. Nah, I just found the story funny because I didn't realize he was still living in his mom's basement.
I didn't either.
But it was, in all fairness, it was a house that he bought his mother.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
So, you know, it was a $1.3 million home that he bought his mom 4 years ago.
Let's be honest. She's living in his house.
Yeah.
All right. Is this where he took Kate Beckinsale when he was dating
Probably
her?
Probably Kate Beckinsale. Wasn't he also dating Ariana Grande?
I think he was dating
That's
Ariana Grande,
kind of weird,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially Kate Beckinsale. She probably has, five houses.
Right. And she can't keep up with her properties.
And he's like, no, we got to go through the back. My mom's asleep.
I got an entrance down below. That's right.
But congrats to Pete Davidson getting on with
good
his
for
life.
Him. That's awesome. Well done, Pete Davidson.
Yeah, you got to celebrate job. The good things.
That's awesome.
I could have gone anywhere with this bad today.
All right,
there was so much bad. I thought about God. Can we might just have to one day just do, an all bad, the good, the bad, the dumb.
Sure,
because I could have gone to the fact that there's a rumor out there. I don't know if it's true. How true it is. But apparently there's going to be a sequel to Face Off.
What?
And apparently Nick Cage and John Travolta are in talks to reprise their roles. I thought the movie was done.
I did too.
So, it wasn't that great to begin with, but we might get a sequel.
Castor Troy?
Yeah. So I could have gone that route.
That movie. Here's the deal about that movie. That movie just was... It got to a point where the premise was good, but when they came up with logistical problems to make that sort of idea that you could change faces work, they just said, and the voices match with this little device.
Exactly.
They just didn't explain it. They were like, well, we removed the facial features, and then, what about the voice? Yeah, this little device, he can just talk like the person. We just want to roll with the plot.
And not only that, all the mannerisms, too.
Right,
all the mannerisms
everything.
Were transferred when the face was transferred.
Exactly.
So we could have gone that route. The other route I thought about going, and I don't know if you saw this, the soccer tackle.
I did see this. Yes,
where it was a vicious tackle, and the ref just like, oh, yellow card.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's
right. that was easily a red card because we make fun of refs all the times and umpires and things like that. Angel Hernandez obviously is in midseason form apparently. But today, the bat of the day is when Miss Sri Lanka was injured after winning her crown.
Yeah.
Because Mrs. World came and stripped the crown off of her head.
Oh, I didn't see this. So there was like a little Kanye Taylor Swift moment?
So what happened was Mrs. Sri Lanka won. And she was fitted with the crown. They got the sash. They're playing the music. She's sitting on the throne. And then it cuts to and Mrs. World. I have to say Mrs. because it comes into play. Mrs. World is the one who placed the crown on her head. And then it's like, the video skips and it's like 5 minutes later, Mrs. World's holding the microphone and saying, I have to do something that hasn't really normally been done. But Mrs. Sri Lanka is supposed to be married.
Oh, that's not good.
And that's part of the rules. Not divorced.
She
just proceeds to hand the mic off to some stagehand, ran right over, ripped the crown off her head, and placed it on the runner-up. The runner-up immediately started crying. Mrs. Sri, the winner, turned and walked away, and then backstage in an interview later said she was injured when the crown was taken off her head. So we got some controversy in Sri Lanka.
Well, there's nothing like a Miss Sri Lanka competition without a little controversy, right?
Yeah, the strangest thing for me that I didn't realize is that when you watch the video, everyone there speaks English. I didn't know that.
Really?
I learned something today.
Oh, well, that's
amazing. I didn't know that Sri Lanka was an English-speaking country. I feel ashamed. I thought maybe I don't even know what language I thought they would speak in Sri Lanka, but I was surprised that they speak English.
Gotcha. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is this other video. Have you ever walked into a convenience store, Tony, to just get a snack, maybe a drink?
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
There's this video going around. I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, this is always difficult on radio to
not
be able to
describe video.
I can explain it.
But I don't know how this thing ends up in a store. It's a 6.5-foot monitor lizard scaling a shelf.
What's that?
A monitor lizard? It looks like Godzilla, basically.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, that makes okay.
It's 6.5 feet long. Just scaled this shelf and just made itself at home, like on top of some. I think it was on top of some toilet paper, some toiletries.
Where was this?
A 7-Eleven in Thailand.
Oh, okay.
But this is, I guess, it's a popular. I mean, a populated area. This isn't like some backwood village 7-Eleven. This is in the heart of Thailand, where somehow a 6.5-foot lizard would just see. No one saw it walking down the street. That's what boggles my mind. Or maybe they did. It's like, you know what? He's on his own. Picture an alligator, if you will. One of those gigantic alligators that we've seen on golf courses. Climbing a shelf in your local 7-Eleven or any local convenience store and just making a home for himself.
Is that a
top.
Common thing? Or they just
I have
go,
no
hey,
idea.
I go for my stuff and there's a lizard there.
I guess.
Is it violent? Does it bite?
I think they can be nasty. I don't know. Okay. I don't know how violent it is.
All right.
But it's not, I mean.
Not a good look, though. Is that what you're saying?
It's kind of, I would be scared. I would be terrified if I saw this thing coming in there. I mean, the thing is huge.
Yeah. I don't like those things, man. Because I don't know if it's going to attack me.
You don't?
It's going to jump on me and, you know, you never know. I don't know, I don't know much about wildlife to know. It's like one time I was in Arizona and I got out of the car because I was going to this auto race and I heard this little rattle and I was like, that's a snake. I better jump back in the car again. I didn't know if it was a snake. I just heard something that sounded kind of like a snake. And I just said, that's enough. I'm done. Get in the car. Like, if I saw a lizard, I wouldn't know. I would just be like, I'm not shopping here. I'm going to find a place where there's no lizards. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We got Will Gray coming up, golfchannel.com, to talk about the Masters as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1966, as we go back in time, Al Davis becoming the AFL commissioner on this date. This music is decent, 1966, before my time, but nevertheless, still fun.
It's kind of like that in-between stage of like where it's, you kind of feel the transformation from bubblegum pop to rock.
Yeah, exactly. This is like my parents' music, 60s on six. This is their thing.
Yep.
O'Reilly Auto Parts here to keep your car on the road with the right parts advice from their professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're not only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know those 80 specialty tools O'Reilly has? I bet I can't use one of them. I have no idea how to use any of them. Like, oh, this Whipple Quartz plarkled in the yard bench. Yeah, let me rent this. No idea what exactly this does.
I did that the other day. I had to go to Home Depot and I had to rent a truck. But while I was waiting, I was looking at the other. They offer all these tools for renting, right? And I need a tiller. Or I think that's what it's called. I don't know.
Right.
I'm showing my knowledge. I'm going to get skewered pretty soon. But, you know, I need to, because I got to reseed my front yard. Because,
nice,
you know, the grass is kind of dead and, you know, it gets a lot of shade. So, you know, I had to go out and get like special seed that kind of grows, that does grow in the shade, that doesn't need direct sunlight because we got some big trees that kind of cover over it. And so I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, you know, it's not that expensive. It's like $30 for 4 hours or something like that. It's like, I can probably just use that. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, do I plug it in? How do I even operate this thing? It's like, I would hate to rent this and say, yeah, by the way, I know I'm renting this. Can you explain to me how to use it?
Yeah, I know. That's my. I was looking for something at one of the hardware stores many years ago for plumbing. I was changing a faucet, and I needed like one of those wrenches that you can use to like tighten the bolt underneath the where the plumbing is. And the guy was telling me, he's like, "Oh no, man, you got this and this and this." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Ah, you can do it with those." I go, "How about I just buy the tool that makes my life? I have no ability to MacGyver this job."
Well,
like
that's the problem.
Do.
Like, I consider myself somewhat like a Mr. Fix-It, but it's very limited.
Yeah, that's
There are two issues I have in my house right now, and I'm like, I gotta call a guy, and he's gonna come over, like, "Oh, you just do this, boom, boom, boom," and I'm gonna be like, "Okay, great. Here's all the money that I had on me," because I know that's what it's going to cost.
That's my problem, right? Like, I think my wife doesn't understand this. When we have a thing and she goes, "I'll just call this guy," I go, "Can you give me a moment to see if I can?" Like, you don't understand. If I have another man come into this house and he fixes something in 3 seconds, and I'm going to look at him and go, "I'm so glad there's a man around to help me with this project." Like, my wife doesn't get it. Like, give me a little bit of time to assess whether or not I can do this.
Yes.
Don't just go to the Tony is a worthless man card. Like, don't jump right to that as soon as there's a problem in the house. Like, instead, like, think about all the wives when something breaks, they go, "My husband fixes that with a Band-Aid and $3.
Yep.
And my wife has to tell them, "Yeah, when something goes wrong, it costs me $75 an hour plus parts."
Yeah, and that's just to get the guy out here.
Yeah, because my husband is useless and can't repair anything. It's like, give me a second. Let me look at YouTube. Let me figure it out. Don't just call a handyman the second something goes wrong. Right? I mean, just give me a little. Can I have a little bit of dignity?
Like, I'm having an issue because in our kitchen now. I'll tell you what the issue is, and then tell you what the larger issue is. So, we have like those fluorescent lights, right? Fluorescent light fixture in our kitchen, and it's dead. I bought new bulbs, put the bulbs in, and it still won't work. Still won't turn on. And so I went to YouTube and it said, "Oh, it's probably the ballast." And the YouTube video I watched is just a woman contractor showing you how easy it is to fix it. And I'm like, you know what? I think I can handle this. I just have to get motivated enough to do it. And the problem is that it's been about a year.
Oh, I got you. I've been down that road too. Yeah, when are you going to fix that? You told me you would. Okay. You don't fix it, I'm calling that guy.
Every time, you know, we brought a lamp in there to kind of create more light, but there's other light fixtures that light it up. At night, it's perfect. I mean, you know, you don't need that much light. But during the day, like right at dusk, right where, you know, the smaller lights aren't doing their job, and we no longer have the daylight from the windows that are right there, that's where the issue comes in. And I'm reminded of it. I'm getting reminded of it more often than I used to.
Amazing. I got my COVID vaccine yesterday, round one, and the efficiency, I was impressed with the way
it worked. It's a well-oiled machine.
I did not realize how amazing it was, how efficient it was.
Let me ask you this, because we're in two different areas. Did they really care about who you were or why you were getting the shot?
No. They asked my name. My name was on the list. That's all. They didn't ask for ID or anything. They were like, great.
They just wanted to shoot everybody up.
I had my ID and my piece of paper that showed that I was appointed to go at this particular window. But they didn't even need it. I mean, they didn't even ask for it. He was like, "What's your name?" I go, "Damn." He goes, "Here it is. Good. Get it." But the thing was, in where I was, the getting you were in the car, the getting the cars to the right places, that was run by military men, like guys in camouflage. Now, there were a bunch of women who were very like, "Hey, this is a vaccine and this is going to happen." But the military guys, it was no joke. It was a little intimidating because Hollywood has influenced me to be like, these are the people that would like only get certain people to the helicopter before everything else goes to hell, right? Right, like I Am Legend. Right. And so he's like, what's your name? And I go, give my name. And he's like, all right, you over there, you over there. He's yelling at another car to get, like, the car is not going where it's supposed to. And he's yelling. And then another guy's walking and he's directing the cars. And it had, and I want to over dramatize this, but it had like a little apocalyptic feel to it because these, like, you know, we're in lines getting this vaccine and the military is like, you over here. And then, you know, then when the lady came out and was talking to me, going, okay, get over here. We'll just kind of, boop, there you go.
Well,
and,
you know, I'm sure that's how it is. They just don't show that scene in the apocalyptic movies. Like, right, in I Am Legend, right. They didn't show the nice one. They're just, you know, they're showing the bad one or the hard, you know what's. The hard A's saying, okay, you go through. Nope, you stay. No, you go stay, to this line right? Over here. You're in that group. Yeah, you're dead where you stand.
I was
keep
expecting
coming.
Some woman to hold her baby. But take my child, please. Take my child. I was expecting that, but it was just, you know, it was efficient and kind of smoothly went. Then they were like, you know, they gave me the shot. And then they said, go over to that parking lot, sit for 15 minutes. I didn't get any cookies or juice or anything like that.
No, they don't do that. No.
That's too bad.
That's only if you get blood.
A little snack, but I did not.
They should do that, right? You're waiting there. You have to wait 15 minutes.
You have to wait 15 minutes. I probably didn't go, here's a little snack kit for you while you wait. And then it was that weird moment of I parked right next to another guy, and then there was another woman. We all parked at the same time. And we were kind of all like, monitoring each other to see which one was going to leave first.
Or which one was going to turn into a zombie.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, just kind of looking over like, is he the one?
Or what happens over next? There? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I got mine done inside of CVS, and they just sit chairs 6 feet apart from each other. But it was, I had the same feeling. I'm looking over like, all right, you're the one who's going to, like, all of a sudden just, like, develop this nervous tick.
Right.
And I'm just going to have to really keep my eye on you. And, like, let me find the exits real quick. Let me make sure I know where I am.
Do you think they could arrest you if you actually faked, like, some sort of reaction to the shot, like, as a joke? Like, if you were sitting in that area?
I don't know. You know what? You have your second shot. You want to be the guinea pig?
Maybe the guinea pig for that.
Let us know.
It was funny,
do
too,
it for radio.
I'm so naive with this kind of stuff. I really am. Like, I told my wife, she says, okay, you got to go to this Columbia College place. And then she goes, and I go, well, where do I go? Like, it's a campus. Where? She goes, you'll see it. I go, what do you mean I'll see it? Like, isn't it in a small room where I'll just walk in and check in with the receptionist at the desk? I get that there's a car line all the way down the street with a big sign that says vaccines. I go, oh, that apparently I'm in the right spot. Yeah. This is what this is.
Is this the line? Is this one I'm supposed to get into?
Like, imagine Disney World, but with cars instead of people. Like, imagine the line that snakes around a queue on Space Mountain. That's what they were doing to us. They were like, then you go down here and turn here and turn here before you get to the big scary military guy who's checking to make sure you're who you are and then sending you to what tent you have to go into to get your shot. I asked, the lady says to me, right arm or left arm? I go, does it make a difference? She goes, nah. I go, okay, I'll do it in this one then. She goes, why would I turn around? I'm in the driver's, poke this one, and off I went. I was good to go. So then you go, here's your card, and here's your window to come back in, a month, couple weeks to get another one. So get your vaccines, people. That's good. Yeah. I was happy. I did make the joke that I thought that they'd give it to dead people before they allow a sports talk guy to get it.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. They'll be like, you know, let's dig up some corpses and give them the vaccine before we give it to him. But I got to have it.
I'm telling you, man, they want to give it to everybody. They don't
care.
That's right.
Michael on Twitter, every time I think of the movie Face Off, it reminds me of the creepy part where John Travolta was checking his daughter out, Dominique Swain, while she was lying on her bed in her underwear. Do not make this sequel. Yeah, that was creepy because he was the dad, but he was really Castor Troy,
right.
Nick Cage, and he was making a move on John Travolta's daughter as John. It was stupid. What a weird movie.
I mean, just a weird. I mean, you know, the idea could work. It could make for a fun thriller.
But America isn't screaming for this, is it? Like,
I've not heard one person say, oh, my God, you know what they should do? They should make a Face-Off sequel.
You gave us the original. It's fine. It's good. We did it. Nobody thought there's more to this story. Let's do this. Yeah, they were just like, no, that's enough. That's enough. Will Gray, golfchannel.com, will join us. The Masters is now underway. We'll talk about the players that are going to be making an impact in this tournament, or at least we think so. And what about the absence of Tiger Woods at this year's Masters? We'll continue along. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's a Throwback Thursday. On this date, 1966, Al Davis became the commissioner of the AFL. So we go to 1966 on a Throwback Thursday, but it's 2021 and the Masters getting underway at Augusta National. Will Gray joins us, golfchannel.com. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. Good to be back with you guys. Good to have another Masters to talk about.
Absolutely. Progressive Guest Line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. So a lot of the Masters is its place on the calendar. Springtime at Augusta, the azaleas blooming, the feeling of spring for a lot of people around the country that are still in winter. But does this feel like we were just here 6 months ago, or does it feel like it's been 2 years in the making?
Yeah, it's interesting. This is kind of the yin and yang. You know, you have to wait 18 months for last year's Masters, but the good side of that is you get 2 and 6 months. It feels
right.
Like DJ just slipped into that green jacket like last Tuesday or something. So that's fun and it's enjoyable. I do think it's interesting from a golf perspective that now you have the Masters as back-to-back majors. There have been no majors played since last year's Masters. But clearly looking at this course, looking at the weather, this is going to be a far different challenge, a far different test than the one that guys encountered in November.
And one of those players that we watched in November and wondering what he would do was Bryson DeChambeau, who was coming off a major and hitting the ball far with this new swing, but he didn't win the Masters. But Bryson being sort of that analytical guy, is there so much that he took from November that would make him feel like this is going to be a different approach to his game?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think he's going to employ a similar strategy. He's certainly not going to be throttling back with five irons anytime soon. He's going to be hitting the driver a lot of places that no one else can reach, frankly, on this golf course. For him, it's always going to boil down to his work on the greens. This is a tournament where, you know, normally on the PGA Tour, you can use these very fancy and very technical green reading books to tell you which way the putts are going to break. You don't get that advantage at Augusta National. And Bryson is one of those guys that long-term seems to struggle putting at this tournament. He's 70th out of 78 in putting over the last 6 years at this tournament. So clearly, he doesn't have to putt great because of his advantage from tee to green, but he is going to have to putt decent or pretty well to have a chance to win.
I know a number of times that you've been on the show, and we've talked about different majors, and we naturally would head to Jordan Spieth and what's wrong with Jordan Spieth and what's happening to his game and why isn't he contending? Well, now he's contending. Now he's got like 3 top 5 finishes this season, a win last week, and now goes to Augusta where he's always played well as one of the favorites. What has he said has happened? What has changed? What is bringing back the old Jordan Spieth?
I'm not even sure that he knows. This could be like that scene in Old School where Will Ferrell just kind of blacks out and runs through the speech. He has been digging out of the dirt for several months. Really, he had been going close to 4 years since his last win before Sunday. And I think that it's just a matter of repetition. And finally, he found something that worked in his swing. And he is such a guy that lives between his ears. Confidence is such a big part of what made Jordan Spieth special in 2015 and 2016. And that's what he was lacking. And I think it really was a situation where he got some results to snowball. He had one really good round that turned into one really good week in Phoenix in February. And all of a sudden, he goes out the next week and he finishes top 10 again. And then he's 15th. And those results started to move in a positive direction for him after he had so many months and years where he felt like he was hitting the ball well, but he was missing cuts or finishing 52nd and things like that. So I do think it's a matter of having that confidence, having some of those intangibles, you know, as an asset rather than to his detriment right now. And as you said, he's one of the favorites and deservedly so this week because he gets such a boost just from being on the ground at Augusta National as a former champion. He's one of those players that just seems to have that magic feel around these greens and around this golf course. And I think a lot of people are expecting some more of that magic this week.
I remember when Rory McIlroy blew up on the back nine in 2011 and he had the lead and he didn't make it. And there were so many people thought, well, this day is coming for him. I mean, he's going to eventually win this, and he hasn't. What's his game like as he needs the Masters for the career Grand Slam?
His game is not good, frankly, right now. He's hitting it all over the map, missed the cut by a country mile at Sawgrass. It's amazing to think that it's been 10 years since that back nine that you referenced in 2011, and we've gone through this before. You know, Ernie Els, Greg Norman, Tom Weisskopf. You can go through the annals of golf history of guys that you point to in their prime, and you say, oh, well, his game fits Augusta. He's going to win two or three green jackets. And then he turns, you know, 65 and has no green jackets. And I don't know that we're quite there yet with Rory, but the pressure does mount. I think it's more difficult for him having to come back to the same tournament on the same course and have all these same skeletons in his closet year after year. Maybe this year he's got, you know, a different recipe. He's certainly flying under the radar because he has not done much in the last 3 or 4 weeks to really warrant discussion on a level with Dustin Johnson or Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas. So we'll have to see. I think if he plays his way into the mix over the weekend, he'll feel some of those familiar pressures. But right now, he's something of a mid-tier selection as opposed to one of the tournament favorites.
We talk about guys who are hot coming into the tournament, and Spieth is a little different given that he plays there well and he's a Masters champion. But what is the norm for the Masters? Because sometimes this course is just gets you, even if you're coming in with a game that's just on fire. What is it about this place that some people whose games is not in tune, they get up for the course, and some who are just lighting it up can't score well?
I think it's just because of the uniqueness of this course, and I think that the people that have played this course so many times before, usually they're past champions, they've won here so they can keep coming back, and those are the ones that, once you have hundreds of rounds under your belt at this course, you know how it plays in different conditions. This week, it's going to be very much a different test than what we saw in November. It's firm, it's fast. Guys are going to have trouble holding greens and holding chips on and around greens as opposed to, you know, the dartboard session that we had in November. So a lot of times I think you have the familiar run-up in March, you go through the Florida swing, and just because you have success at a place like Bay Hill or TPC Sawgrass does not mean that you're going to necessarily equate to a successful week at Augusta National. This is a place where birdie and double bogey are on the plate on every single hole, and there's no way to kind of hide that notion that you can step up to so many shots feeling like you've got a 9-iron or an 8-iron in your hand and that you should be getting aggressive, when really sometimes the best play is to hit it 35 feet to the left and just play for the center of the green. And so those are some of the mind games that you have to play to get around this place, and those are the mind games that I think some of the guys with a lot of veteran experience play better than others.
Yeah, you brought up the hundreds of rounds. It's kind of interesting because if Wingfoot is hosting the Open, guys won't go to Wingfoot all the time every single year, but they'll go here on days. How often do players who are committed to the Masters, can play in the Masters, how often do they make a side trip to Augusta in, like, whenever the course is open to just get one or two rounds in before they head off to somewhere else?
Yeah, a lot of times, guys, if you know you're in the tournament, you are afforded a handful of practice rounds. I think you have 4 or 5 practice rounds. Most guys will make a trip in November or December because that's kind of the low point in the golf season. It's a nice trip before Christmas with the buddies and all that stuff. But we saw when we had the November Masters how different that course plays to what we're used to seeing in April. So there's only so much that you can glean from a trip 5 months prior in conditions you're not going to see. So a lot of guys will go just to kind of knock the rust off, and to, especially if you haven't played the Masters before, you want to get your first-timer Augusta National jitters out of the way well before tournament week. And then a lot of times guys will show up, you know, in the days leading up to it. You can't play the course unless you're a past champion until the Sunday prior. So it's limited practice round. It's not like, you know, a first-timer can post up 3 weeks before and just grind it out for 3 weeks before the Masters. It's a limited amount of access that you have, and so that's why a lot of the lifetime champions have a bit of an edge.
How much is the news of Tiger Woods' absence and why he's absent and what the news came out yesterday, how much is that hovering over the media, the patrons, the golfers? What has that been like over the 24 hours since we knew why he crashed?
Yeah, I think somewhat. You know, the numbers of the speed that he had were certainly shocking. I don't think it was that much of a surprise to know that speed was a factor in that crash. But he has been a talking point already. Earlier this week, he was a notable absence at the Champions Dinner Tuesday night. They left the seat open for him. A lot of guys were talking about, you know, they were texting with him, and he was saying that this was really when it was starting to sink in, that he was going to miss this week and not be a part of such a special event. But it has been interesting to hear from guys like Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, who, now that Tiger is transferred back to Florida, they've been able to see him. They've been able to go to his house in Jupiter and kind of check in on him. and see how he's doing and kind of get a gauge of where his head is at. Obviously, he has a long road to recovery, whatever that recovery may be, and there's still a lot of hurdles he has to cross, but it's been good to talk to some of those guys or at least hear from them and get an understanding of where his head's at and just to know that they've been able to check in on him.
It feels surreal to me anyway that, you know, it was 2 years ago he won this thing, and 6 months ago he was putting the green jacket on Dustin Johnson. It's not an absence of a former champion like some guys who would, you know, are in their twilight of their career. He would have been a factor in this tournament no matter what his state of his game was if he was playing.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, you also have to remember that he did have that surgery in December to once again try and fix his back. When we were talking to him in February at the Genesis, the days before his crash, it was still a question mark over whether he was going to be able to play in this tournament. I think it was probably going to be a long shot for him to be healthy enough to really contend this week, but you certainly expected to see him as part of the field. As you mentioned, it's only been 2 years since that victory, and it was memorable in the moment, and I think that the further away we get from it, it's only going to increase in magnitude to understand kind of just how special it was that he was able to pull it off at this event, at this course, at his age, given all that he had been through.
So I do have to ask you about Phil, because I love Phil, and I hope there's one more run in his 50s, but how is his game? It doesn't look like it's been all that great, but Augusta does turn him on, so how is Phil Mickelson playing?
Yeah, I've always been one of those guys that thought that Phil could be the guy to break Jack Nicklaus's record as the oldest champion. I totally thought that he had a chance to win this tournament over the age of 50. I don't know that I'm feeling it this week. He has, as you said, he's had a notable regression in his game overall, but a lot of the short game magic that we're used to seeing from him is not quite there. He recently dropped out of the top 100 in the world rankings for the first time in his career. I've seen him as high as like a 300-1 long shot to win this tournament this week. So I don't think that, you know, he has three green jackets for a reason. No one's really going to count him out before a shot is hit. But I would say he definitely fits in the long shot category this week if you're talking about potential winners.
All right. Well, what's the forecast like? Do we have rain in the future? Do we have hard conditions? I'm assuming we do because we always feel like we do. But what's the forecast like the next 4 days?
Yeah, firm and fast. You're going to be hearing those terms a lot over the next 4 days. There might be some rain Friday night and Saturday, but you know the machines that they have beneath the grounds at Augusta National will probably suck every drop of moisture out of it. And I do think that you're going to see a more difficult challenge at Augusta National than you've seen in several years. Hearing from these guys, these greens are already rock hard. They're playing like sidewalk. It's going to be difficult to land shots on the green. It's going to be hard to hold chips if you're coming from the wrong side of things. I think we're looking at a difficult test. I think you could see single digits under par win the tournament as opposed to 20 under that Dustin Johnson shot 5 months ago. So I think it's going to be definitely a yin versus the yang we had in November.
Feel free to not answer this, because if you've got a piece that's coming and you want to surprise people, feel free not to answer this. Do you have a dark horse for this tournament?
If you can count Adam Scott as a dark horse, I would. I've seen him at like 80 or 90 to one, and I think that he's a guy to watch as a former champion and a guy who's a little under the radar with his ball striking right now. I think that he definitely fits the mold as someone who could come back and challenge for another victory at a course that he really does play well. So I don't know. He's not in the Phil 300 to one long shot category, but I think Adam Scott's the guy to watch.
Will Gray, I love talking to you, my friend. Enjoy Masters Week as always when we go. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you a lot, my friend.
Good talking to you.
You got it. Will Gray, golfchannel.com, Progressive Guest Line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. More on the Masters when we come back. Wake up call.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me.
A Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Wake Up Call continues. Throwback Thursday, Beach Boys, as we wrap up 1966 today. Al Davis becoming the commissioner of the AFL. And the rest is history. He's had a lot of battles with Pete Rozelle over the years. Al Davis, one of the more iconic figures in all of sports. Again, 1966. Been good music day today. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life. Rocket can. All right, so I love having Will on. Will Gray from the Golf Channel. I love, he just knows the golf world. it's a hard sport to keep up with. I'll be honest with you. I don't follow every event, like tour event. So I sometimes have to kind of go, like when the U.S. Open comes around or the Masters, I kind of have to go back and go, oh, who's playing well? Who's like, let's be honest, who's like finished 10th?
Okay, for me, it seemed like it was a little bit easier, say, 10 years ago. Like
yeah,
didn't, it felt like there was the same group of guys in the top 10 all the time.
Yeah, it was like Ernie Els, like David Duval 20 yeah. years ago was like the same thing. Tiger, right? VJ, it was a group. Phil. I really hope, I mean, I hope he's right. I hope Phil does find a way to win the Masters in his 50s. Like, I don't know why I want that so bad. I just love Phil, and I would love for him to win the old guy major, right?
Yes.
I just like that about him. I just, you know, he's been around, you know, for, what, 30 years now? 30-plus years? Yeah, 92, I think, is when he turned pro. So, yeah, and he's still hitting it over 300 yards.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Why not go out there and get it? And this is the course that caters to the older guys.
Isn't it crazy that in 86, when Jack Nicklaus won, it felt like your grandfather won the Masters?
Yeah.
Like, it really did. If you go back and watch, like, clips of that, like, he was an old man that shouldn't have no... Like, his adult son was caddying for him.
That's everybody, right?
Right? I mean, he's 46. His 20-year-old son is caddying. 20-something-year-old. I think it was 22 or something at the time. His adult son is caddying for him. He's 40. Like, there was no little kids running up to greet dad. It was like his grandchildren were running up to greet him. And now if a 46-year-old wins a golf tournament, it's like, yeah, it's totally cool. It's the way it is now. I mean, I kid you not, in 86, Jack Nicklaus winning was a shocker. A shocker given his age. Now, Phil winning at 50, 51 years old shouldn't blow anybody away. Shouldn't. Because he's still got some game, but he's not playing particularly well. All right, Jake Asman next.